Welcome to the Classical Academy's podcast, Partnering with Parents. Join us as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, Executive Director for the Classical Academies, and thank you for joining us for another podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about homeschooling kindergartners and creating a healthy balance of academics and play while balancing the parent-teacher role. And today's guests are Jill McNiff and Shannon Andalina. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're excited.
Excellent. Well, let's start off with, give us a little bit of background on yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is Shannon Andalina, and I'm entering my ninth year at Classical Academy.
Wow.
Yes, I'm excited about that, too. I've partnered with parents for 6 years teaching kindergarten, which I will absolutely cherish forever. I've gone through the Leadership Institute through our school and continue to provide parent support in education. For the last 2 years, I've been serving students as a kindergarten through second grade reading specialist as part of our awesome intervention team. On a personal note, I've had the blessing of being a homeschool mom at TCA and survived homeschooling my own 3 children. I say surviving. I survived it, actually, because I think back to when I had 3 little ones. I had 1 in diapers, 1 starting kindergarten, and 1 in second grade.
Wow.
Yes. Survival.
That's
a challenge.
So I have, actually, my daughter is graduating the classical this year. She's a senior. And then my son is in 10th grade, and then my daughter is in 7th grade at Coastal.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. That's great, Shannon.
Yes.
So Jill, talk to us.
Hi, I'm Jill McNiff. I've been an early childhood educator for the past 24 years, ranging from private schools to traditional public schools, preschools, and now my current position as a kindergarten teacher at the Classical Academies, which is a homeschooling charter school. I'm also the mother of 2 teenage boys. Like Shannon, I also went through the Leadership Institute through our school district, and I'm the K-2 teacher leader as well as the BITSA support provider at my school site.
Excellent.
Yes, and my boys are now in 8th grade and 10th grade.
Wow. You've survived so much, and now we're right in the middle of high school.
Yes. I know.
Crazy times.
Wow.
Well, you know, kindergarten can be a scary time for parents as well. So what qualities do you think that a parent needs to be a homeschool kindergarten mom or dad?
Okay, so Jill, I have a feeling you're going to agree with me with all of these qualities that I feel are necessary. So I feel that patience, definitely a sense of humor, flexibility, and a growth mindset. I feel if a parent can adopt a growth mindset, they can open their eyes to their child's preferred learning style in their natural play setting at home. Some examples of that. Does your child like to build with blocks and Legos the most? Or maybe your child spends most of their time diving into creative play like drawing, coloring, or painting. Or maybe it's dramatic play like dress up. Maybe, just maybe, you will come to find through observing your child that the exploratory play they are engaging in can be carried over to homeschool, and even more exciting, can be interwoven into the daily academics they will partake in. Creating a homeschool environment mixed with exploratory play and teacher-led intentional play will help to begin and create a kindergarten homeschool experience that will be memorable and fun. It's such an exciting time to make the decision to continue to be your child's first teacher. I can definitely say that it has been the biggest blessing for my family. If you can understand how your child learns best and understand the social-emotional needs of your child, it will set you both up for success on the journey of homeschooling.
Jill, do you have any feedback on that?
I completely agree with the sense of humor part and allowing your child to have fun while learning.
Excellent. So in your combined experience as educators, do you feel like that you find parents that tend to lean towards too much playtime or maybe too much academics early on with their homeschooling? And is finding that balance hard?
Absolutely. A parent needs to be creative or learn how to be creative and think outside the box. I can recall my first day homeschooling my son Jack when he was in kindergarten. He was obsessed with Steve Irwin and wanted to be the crocodile hunter. He had his crocodiles all lined up ready to play on a daily basis. We sat down to do some math worksheets as the lesson was on counting or numbers. Jacko looked up at me with this baffled look on his face as I turned on my teacher voice and began the lesson. As I handed him the pencil, it's as if I could completely read his mind through his big brown eyes staring at me.
What am I supposed to do with this?
Over. Yes, exactly. Lesson over. He jumped up, threw down his pencil, and dashed over like Steve Irwin in search of his crocodiles. Boy, we had some battles to get the lessons done. Some days were good, and some not so much. I learned rather quickly that he was a very kinesthetic and tactile learner. This simply means that he's a typical five-year-old who loves to move around, touch things, and build. Well, I knew I was fully invested in homeschooling my children, but I seriously needed help. I quickly adopted a growth mindset. I was not going to give up. I began to network with other parents and learn some tips and tricks to create the best homeschool experience for my kids. What I can share is to use manipulatives like Legos to learn certain math concepts. Use things like Play-Doh, shaving cream, or sand to teach letters. Take pictures to document that essential learning took place and use this as talking points during conference. Don't be afraid to use play to teach. Our children need to play. They learn through play. I'll share an example of how a parent can mix exploratory play and intentional play. Intentional meaning that the teacher pre-plans some of the play and there is an academic purpose to it. Think of it as if you just finished the lesson and now it is time for your child to practice what they have learned. Let's say you're doing an author study in literature and the author is Jan Brett, one of our favorite kindergarten authors.
Yes.
For science, you are learning about living things and you want to focus on farm animals. Well, Jan Brett has wonderful pieces of literature and all of her books have animals in them, some of the characters. Because of your growth mindset that you've adopted, you realize that you can connect literature and science and throw in some intentional play to cement the learning and have fun in the process. Pre-teach your child the essential vocabulary that is needed to comprehend all of the information you'll be teaching in science. Take a picture walk a Jan Brett book and make observations with your child. Use the academic vocabulary as you point to the pictures. Your kiddo will start to make the connections and carry that new essential vocabulary to play. Using content essential vocabulary during play makes the playtime intentional and fun.
So Shannon, I'm one of those tactile learners and I love to touch things because you can talk to me about it, but I've also got to touch it. So what we're really asking parents to do is really take that book, open that book up, point to different things in the book and actually engage your child in that. And then talk to us about, I'm going to take a picture of that. Walk me through that. What does that look like?
Absolutely. So you want to engage your child at all times and you want to be intentional. So if you're taking a Jan Brett book, you basically just sit your child down and you hold the book up and you go through the pages of the book and discuss what is going on. You make predictions, you do what we call think alouds. So a think aloud is where a teacher would say something like, oh wow, I see snow is on the ground. What season do you think it is? And that would engage the child to respond, hopefully that it is winter. And if that's one of the academic vocabulary words, beautiful.
Perfectly. And then you do that engagement piece. And obviously, there's some planning that goes on before that as well. Before you're sitting down, you're actually looking at what the learning objectives are for the day. Maybe you've done some pre-planning the night before. And so what you're trying to do is looking at some of those words and some of those visual images and then being able to have that conversation.
Absolutely. Definitely. You definitely want to be prepared for sure. So going over the lesson objectives the night before, a couple nights before, will give you the time to think through a thoughtful, intentional lesson that will be fun if you make it fun and also meet the needs of the objectives.
Jill, any thoughts to add in that?
Well, back to the question about parents doing too much play or too much academics.
Yes.
Yeah, so we conference with our parents at our school 6 times per year, and that's definitely one of the struggles of new parents or parents who have been at our school for several years that have multiple children at different grade levels. So I do counsel them in ways to separate the two, putting on your school hat and putting on your play hat, or like Shannon talked about, adding manipulatives to certain academic portions of your day. So that's definitely a struggle for some parents.
I was also interested on that same topic as planning and stuff. Do you think it's important that moms and dads start the day every day at the same time? Should there be some flexibility in that as well?
It depends on your child. It depends on your situation because, for example, my son, when I was homeschooling him, he did very well getting up early in the morning when he was younger. Not now. I can't get him up at all now. But when he was young, he needed to get up. He needed a routine, and he liked to get his work done. That was beautiful. So we would get tackle the work in the morning, and he would play in the afternoon. However, there are some late risers, kiddos who like to sleep in, are a little maybe grumpy and don't want to start school until later. So you really have to consider your child's temperament and work with what's going to work best for your kiddo.
I agree. But I think the parents who struggle the most are the ones who do not have a set schedule. And
definitely.
So that's something that I introduce to them. And I have them sit in on our day and show them that we do language arts at this time. And then we take a break. And then we do math. And suggest to them to come up with some sort of schedule that does work with their routine, whether it be at 8 a.m. or starting at 10 a.m. or whatever works with them and their sleep schedule. But I think some that struggle don't have any type of schedule, and
no,
it's what their and it's what their child is craving, because it's what they're used to when they're in a traditional classroom setting like mine. So
I agree with that, and also it's really important, if you don't know what you're doing and you do recognize the fact that your child needs more structure, come into a classroom where you can observe and take notes of the kindergarten teacher and how she interacts with her students. You can mimic the classroom at home, put up a calendar, set up centers, have your child or maybe children rotate to each center and do a mixture of academics and play.
Very important.
And put a timer on. The timer
yes,
is essential for kindergartners. Yes, 10 minutes, no more.
Interesting. Okay. So do tell us, how can a parent educator provide a healthy balance of academics and play at home?
Well, at our school, I conference with the parents of my kindergartners 6 times per year. So I talk to them about their child's academic goals and challenges, highlight their strengths, and chat about their interests within a classroom setting of 20 students. Without fail, the most common question is, how's my child's behavior with their peers? So with the adoption of Common Core standards, kindergarten has become increasingly more and more rigorous. There are a lot of challenges we face as parents and as teachers, and a lot of skills students are expected to learn at the age of 5 or the age of 6. While it's extremely important for my students to learn these essential standards, it's also important for them to become children who are well-rounded citizens, have good manners, understand how to share, learn how to speak kindly to others, how to express themselves using words and not their hands, and how to share. That's why one of my favorite times of our day is what I like to call free choice time. Our day is quite structured, but this time of the day allows my students to learn all the essential skills that are so important in the well-rounded child. At the beginning of the year, I do a ton of intervening and modeling, but after a few months, it becomes apparent that they can work out challenges on their own. They have the skills to speak to friends kindly, to share with others, and to express their needs or struggles. It also allows them the time to be their own person and make their own choices, whether it be building towers with magnet tiles or zooming cars down a race car track or pretending to be a babysitter with the dollhouses or using the array of art supplies to create a masterpiece. So when a parent asks me during a conference, well, how is my child's behavior with their peers? I can confidently talk to the parent about what I see in class. I talk to them about their child's manners, what I see their interests are, and how they interact with their peers. This free choice time is also important to the homeschooling parent who's trying to provide a healthy balance of academics and play at home. It's important to build that time into their daily homeschooling schedule. Children need to be able to take a break from the rigor of kindergarten academics so they can play and express themselves freely and just be a kid.
That is important. It's very, very important. So you talked about the encouragement piece of parents, because they're asking you specific questions. How is my son or daughter doing in your class? What are some of those behaviors that maybe they can take home that you're really focused in on that they can take home and incorporate it at home to become a better home educator?
Well, definitely, I think having a schedule is super important. Discussing with your child the expectations of the day or even the subject to subject is super important as well. Behavior management is a big deal inside the classroom and also at home. You'd want to have a system that will allow your students some freedom and choice, but yet still make sure they're understanding what needs to get done for the day. I think that a lot of parents are primarily concerned about how their student is behaving in kindergarten.
Sure.
And character development is a huge, huge, huge thing for most parents. I would hope for all parents. But it's really important to model good behavior as a parent and how you're speaking to your child.
It can be quite challenging for a homeschooling parent to help a child put on their school hat while they're at home and they're trying to be taught. So as Shannon mentioned, one of the good ideas would be to add in play manipulatives, because that can be super fun for your child. Whether you're doing math activities with Legos or using race cars with letters on top of them. However, we all know that there are children that would much rather play than work on schoolwork. And research shows that children do need to play. Those who engage in complex forms of sociodramatic play have greater language skills than non-players, better social skills, more empathy, more imagination, and more capacity to know what others mean. They're less aggressive and show more self-control and higher levels of thinking. So there's a few things I think might be helpful for a homeschooling parent that's struggling with a child who sees their toys in the corner and just wants to play with the toys. And so there is a struggle sometimes with separating play and work time. So one idea is to create a designated area in your home for schooling only. This doesn't mean it has to be an entire room set aside as a full classroom, but it should be a special area of the home where you can store and organize the materials you're going to need to get your homeschooling done for the day. If your child's having trouble separating the work time with the play time, then be sure that the toys are also in a specific area, away from the designated school area. This area could be well organized with things like toys, dramatic play items, puzzles, and art supplies. And this is a good tip from an organized mom and teacher. If you label your bins to place the toys into, it will make your life a whole lot easier.
Definitely.
When the bins are labeled with photos of items to place inside, children can be easily responsible for their own cleanup. It's my favorite thing.
That's beautiful.
You can also start your day early if your child's an early riser. Get the academic part completed before lunchtime, and then your child can be a kid for the remainder of the day. Or how about using the toy area as an incentive for your child to complete his work for the day? For example, you might say something like, once you've finished today's math assignment, you can go visit your playroom for 20 minutes. You could try to set up play dates or cooperative learning groups with your child's peers in order to add some socializing time in your day. Just remember that incorporating play is vital to the well-rounded child.
Excellent. It totally resonates with me, too. I was always telling the kids, if you put it away, you always know where to find it.
That's right. Everything has its place.
Absolutely.
So ladies, what are some of your final thoughts that you want our listeners to really focus in on that are probably the most important of our time together?
Sure. I would say be willing to accept that some days will not go as planned.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the struggles as learning opportunities for you to reflect upon what went wrong and why that may have happened. Learn from it and move on. When we struggle, we learn how we can be better the next time. Don't let one or two challenging days dictate the precious relationship between you and your child. Tell yourself that tomorrow will be better.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it.
Yes,
exactly.
I'd also like to say, just to remember that a kindergartner begins their school at age 5. Mm. Children are always trying to figure out what their boundaries are. So to remember to create a schedule full of fun activities. If you make learning fun and allow your child to play with toys, paint, mimic, and role play, your homeschooling days will be effective, and you will feel like a successful parent educator.
And what I keep hearing throughout this entire conversation is the importance of a schedule.
Yes.
The importance of a schedule. Know who your child is and schedule accordingly.
Definitely.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's it.
Excellent. Well, ladies, this has been great information for our parents. I know they'll be encouraged by our time together. So thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
This podcast is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, email us at podcast@classicalacademy.com. Subscribe to our channel or leave us a review. Thanks for listening.